Joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Sharon Fairley. She is one of the Democratic candidates for Attorney General. Most recently, she led the restructuring of the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. Sharon, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
One of the things I've asked the candidates to come in, because obviously attention tends to flow to the Democratic race for governor and now Republican race for governor, and we have this big field, and I wanted the candidates to, one, say, why do you want to run for attorney general? What is there about this job of attorney general, given your background, that you want to seek this office?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I really appreciate your bringing attention to this race, because the position is just so incredibly important to our state, and more important than ever before. I entered this race because I'm just really concerned about the situation that our state faces right now, and I really believe that our political leadership has failed to deliver and solve the problems that our state faces, and we're just left in this kind of never-ending political quagmire, and we're not making any progress. And so I really believe that in this particular office, we need someone who has the experience and independence to really lead our state into a new future. And I believe that I have a very unique combination of skills and experiences to bring to the office that is what the office actually needs right now. So, I have the legal expertise, I have the analytical expertise, I have the management expertise. I've actually already led an agency that's responsible for complex legal matters successfully. And so I believe that I have the proven competence to do the job. And so that's why I'm in it.
Why don't you give us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Yeah. So I was born in Washington, D.C. and raised by two public servants who both worked in education. And so I grew up with a core family value of public service and the importance of a proper functioning government. I got my undergraduate degree from Princeton in mechanical and aerospace engineering, which shows that I have the courage to stand up to tough problems and attack tough problems. I got an MBA from the Wharton School, and then I had a business career and was very successful. So I've learned how to manage people and processes and budgets. But at the end of the day, I reached a point in my life that I really wanted to focus on public service. So I went to law school with the idea that I would commit my professional life to serving the public, and that's what I've done. So I got my law degree from the University of Chicago, and ever since then I've only represented the citizens of Illinois and been delighted and privileged to do so. I first served as an assistant attorney general and in the criminal appeals area, and then I served as a federal prosecutor for 8 years, working on the kinds of cases and investigations that are really directly relevant to the office of the attorney general. And then, of course, as you mentioned, for the last couple of years, I worked for the city of Chicago, first as the first deputy inspector general at the city agency responsible for rooting out government corruption and waste, and then as the chief administrator of the Independent Police Review Authority and the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. And it was in that capacity that, you know, I really worked hard to push for change, and I believe that I proved that I can be independent and be successful in getting things done in the rough and tumble world of Illinois politics. So I really believe that this personal and professional background really makes me uniquely qualified for the job in a way that other candidates in the race just aren't.
You mentioned that in serving as a federal prosecutor, that there seems like a relationship there to what you would be doing as attorney general.
Yes, sir.
Could you flesh that out for me
a
little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So my experience at the U.S. Attorney's Office here was really, really quite broad, and I think that's important because it's different even than the other federal prosecutors in this race. So I worked on narcotics trafficking cases, which gives me an insight into the opioid crisis. I worked on firearms trafficking cases, which gives me insight into our gun violence problems. I also worked on complex fraud matters, which is directly relevant to the office's responsibilities in the area of consumer protection. I worked on national security matters, counterintelligence, and counterespionage, which gives me expertise and experience on, for example, privacy protection. So there's a lot of work that I've done that is directly relevant to the work. So it's also in that capacity you have experience doing complex litigation, which is really important to the office because, again, the Attorney General is responsible for litigating matters on behalf of the state and behalf of the people of the state. But also, what's more important is the investigative skills that you gain as being a federal prosecutor. So I've learned how to investigate those kinds of matters, which is really relevant to the enforcement work of the Attorney General, not just the criminal side, but also in the civil side. So, for example, one of the cases that I prosecuted at the office was a group of individuals that was defrauding homeowners by telling them if they gave them a fee, a large fee of $2,500, that they would then convince their bank to modify their mortgage and lower their mortgage payment. And they really preyed on older homeowners, and it was really tragic because they would tell them, stop paying your mortgage, because that would show the bank that you were having difficulty paying your mortgage. Those individuals were first operating out of storefronts, and they were sued by the city of Chicago to get them to stop. They were then sued by the Attorney General to get them to stop, but they didn't stop. They went underground, and they started using aliases and operating out of their homes. So working with law enforcement, I found them and brought them to justice, and that's because I have the skills, the investigative skills and expertise to do that kind of work, and that's directly relevant to the work of the Office of the Attorney General.
We're speaking with Sharon Fairley. She's a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Showcase studio with Sharon Fairley. She's one of the Democratic candidates for Attorney General as we continue our series of discussions with those candidates. Sharon, one of the things that seems of a commonality among all of the candidates is taking on Donald Trump. And I understand that part of the issue. And, of course, there's no shortage of things that the Democrats would challenge Donald Trump on. But there's also the duties of Attorney General that relates more directly to the people of the state of Illinois. Is there a balancing act here?
So I see them as actually being one and the same. Excuse me. And the reason is this. There are certain policies that are being pursued by the Trump administration that actually have a direct and negative impact on the citizens of Illinois. And you can look at it on almost any of the areas that we want to fight back against Trump on. Let's just start with immigration, right? The whole DACA movement, right? These are individuals that are now here in Illinois and contributing to our life and our economic prosperity here. And so by losing them, it would have a negative impact on our economy and our life and our well-being. Let's take health care, right? When the Trump administration seeks to roll back federal benefits in the area of health care, those are then costs that are going to come right back to us here in Illinois. When people don't have health care, then they go to emergency rooms, and hospitals end up paying those costs, and those costs end up getting transferred to the other consumers here in Illinois. That's the same way with rolling back, for example, the coverage of contraception for women. Again, when that federal benefit, when those benefits are taken away, somebody else is going to have to pay the cost, and that cost is going to come back to us in Illinois, either to cover the contraceptive benefit or to pay the health care costs that are associated with people who don't have contraception. The environment. We have communities in Waukegan that are really suffering because the failure of the EPA to enforce its EPA rules in terms of petcoke, right? There are communities where a third of the children have asthma or asthma-like symptoms because of the petcoke that's being distributed throughout their community. So these are the issues that have real impact on our state. So I see them as part of the consumer protection responsibility of the agency. As much as I really loathe the racist policies, just in general. And I take some of it personally, right? For example, the idea that he wants to attack affirmative action, I take that personally. But it really is, I see it as part and parcel to the role of the Attorney General in protecting the citizens of Illinois from harmful policies, whether it's government or it's abusive and exploited businesses.
We've had Lisa Madigan in that office for some time, and I know it kind of caught everybody by surprise when she decided that she was not seeking re-election. But is there some area that you might highlight that in a different way that she has not, in your opinion, gone far enough?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there are really two, for me, there are two areas that I believe that the office can play a much more strategic and proactive role. The first is in the area of public safety. And in that area, we're talking about, you know, the idea that we have a problem here in terms of the lack of trust between law enforcement and the communities that they serve. And this is a statewide issue. I know we're here in Chicago right now focused on this issue. We have a police department that is under scrutiny, and thankfully Lisa Madigan took the important step of filling the void left by the Trump administration by filing the lawsuit seeking court oversight of the reforms in the Chicago Police Department. But this is an issue statewide, and we need to work on these issues statewide. We also need to work on smarter criminal justice reform, and I believe the Attorney General can play a bigger and more important role in that area. And then, of course, the second area is in government integrity and transparency. And this is where I believe that the office really needs to step in a big way. There are a lot of problems here with holding our political actors accountable at all levels of government. We all know that we learned last fall that we went for 3 years without a legislative inspector general. I particularly found that unconscionable, trying to figure out who was responsible for making sure that that position was filled. And I'm currently concerned because, as I understand, that the current person in the role is only temporary, and that I don't see any actions going on or actions being taken to find and place a permanent person in that role. So after June 30th, you know, are we going to have a permanent person and a well-stocked office, a well-hired office, filled office to fill that role? And these are things that the Attorney General can and should be working on.
What about as far as the issue of public corruption?
Absolutely. So this is really important. I think, you know, I've actually put out on my website a platform of ideas that I'd like, some of the ideas that I'd like to pursue when the job. But first and foremost is, you know, I would like to form a statewide task force to coordinate between the state's attorney's office and the law enforcement agencies to make sure that they are sharing resources and information, and that there's expertise and political will throughout the state to prosecute these kinds of cases. I'd also like to work on developing policies and protocols for the local governments, because not all of them can have, for example, an inspector general office by themselves. And so what are the checks and balances that they can put in place to ensure that their political actors can be held to accountable? These are some of the things that I'd like to be working on. But I believe that the office should be playing a much more involved role in that area.
What about, I mean, some have talked, even going so far as the idea of statewide grand juries under the authority.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, for too long we've kind of relied on the federal government to do a lot of the work in the area of political corruption. And I know that the new U.S. attorney has said that, you know, he's going to really be focusing on political corruption for the office here in the Northern District of Illinois. And that's terrific. But, you know, those resources are limited, and we cannot just rely on them completely to hold our government accountable. And so we need to develop our own infrastructure, checks and balances within the state to make sure that we can do that ourselves.
Does the Attorney General's office liaison enough with the U.S. Attorney's office? One of the reasons I ask you are things like, you know, the gun flow coming from Indiana and other states, those kinds of things. Obviously, the Justice Department has its own,
right,
you know, priorities, but that's still seems to be, you know, a very significant issue here.
Absolutely. I believe that the office can play a bigger role when it comes to the enforcement of and dealing with the gun violence issue. And this is a tough problem, right? There isn't one solution.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's got to be solved by, you know, a combination of law enforcement and then community engagement and community involvement. So when it comes to the laws, I mean, I want to advocate for just getting the Gun Dealer Licensing Act done. We just need to get that done. Because we know that 40% of the illegal guns that are found related to crimes actually come from Illinois. And so we need to, in order to stem that piece of legislation is going to be very helpful. And we know that. The second thing is we need to continue to push for stronger federal gun regulation, because we know that Illinois is kind of an island. We're surrounded by other states whose gun laws are not as strong as ours, and we have, again, 60% of the guns coming in from other states. And again, as a federal prosecutor, I have direct experience of that. One of the cases that I last prosecuted at the office was a group of individuals who were bringing guns in from Indiana into Chicago, selling the guns, using the proceeds to buy heroin, and then taking it back to a small town in Ohio called Marion, Ohio, where they just really decimated that community with opioid addiction. And then they would sell the heroin and get more money and buy more guns. And it was this vicious circle that they were doing. And so, you know, I have experience using law to enforce that kind of activity. And I'd like to work more proactively with law enforcement and the state's attorneys across the state to improve the level of enforcement that we're seeing that we're able to achieve.
Sharon, for more information about your campaign, people
yes.
can go to
SharonFairley.com.
Spell it.
SharonFairley.com. Thank you so much.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
I've been delighted to. Thank you.